Next is our flag salute. Boy Scout Troop 489 is here to lead us in the flag salute. And if you would remain standing for our invocation, Pastor Jan Armstrong from First Presbyterian Church in Grover Beach is here to lead us in the invocation.
The Pledge of Allegiance is a profession of loyalty and devotion to not only a flag, but to a way of life, the American ideal. Today, there may be a tendency among many Americans to recite the pledge by rote, with little thought for the words themselves. In 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower approved adding two words, under God. As he authorized this change, he said, "In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's most powerful resource in peace and war."
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
City and those in authority that they may ordain only such things as are for the welfare and good of the people and the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it. Have a seat. I'll turn my collar around and we'll get down to business here. That takes us to item number 5. Special presentation, and I understand we do have one this evening. And Ella, is that you?
Let me introduce Linda Chipping, President of Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here. The Coastal San Luis Resource Conservation District, on an annual basis, does a presentation to the conservationists here for our district, and we cover the land in the county which runs from Morro Bay down to the Santa Maria and from the Pacific Ocean up to the crest of the Santa Lucia Range. And this year, we've done something which I consider unique for the state of California because of the uniqueness of the city of Arroyo Grande. And because of the leadership that the Arroyo Grande City Council has shown, following the wishes of their citizens, we wish to present to the city of Arroyo Grande this plaque. We also have... I'd like to read some of the accomplishments.
Sure.
In the past 2 years, the city of Arroyo Grande has completed the following tasks related to the conservation of ag resources as directed by the city council. The preparation of the report on the conservation of prime agricultural resources for the city of Arroyo Grande. The creation of an agricultural buffer overlay. Preservation overlay district of 100 feet around agriculturally zoned properties. You've clarified how buffers are created between ag properties and new urban developments. You've created findings and mitigation requirements for potential conversions. You've revised land use regulations for all agricultural districts. You've created agricultural independence tech and agricultural conservation easement programs. Devoted community development department staff to attend meetings of countywide agricultural groups such as the Buy Fresh Local, Central Coast Agri-Tourism Council, and the Agricultural Roundtable. You commissioned a study entitled Creating a Common Area for the Sale of Local Agricultural Products. You've been Water Community Development Department staff time to meet with local farmers and other interested in developing new markets for local food. I use devoted community development department staff time to the promotion and education of agricultural resources within the city of Orlando.
We did all that?
You deserve this award.
On behalf of the council and staff, it's a pleasure and a privilege to accept this award. And as you well know, and as the issues that and observations that you just read indicate, ag preservation is and continues to be a priority for this council. And we cherish it in this city, and we always will. So I really appreciate it, Linda. It's great. It's a great honor to accept this. Oh, thank you. Did you want to say something?
Yes. The fact that your program is recognized statewide because they are a real leader in working to keep agriculture in the city. And I think I got a letter today from EPA commending the city on the work you've done. This is from Sacramento. So I just think this council has been an extraordinary, excellent council. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And here's a picture of the heart of the city.
Tony, may I recommend that the ladies come up front with the council behind that for a picture?
Absolutely. You want me in the back?
Yeah.
Well, you're running this show, Cacho. So. Presented tonight be read in title only, and all further readings be waived.
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. That takes us to item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the community to come forward and discuss or make observations on items that are not on this evening's agenda. We would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Any takers? Okay, seeing none, we will close community comments and suggestions. That will take us to item 8, consent agenda. This is normally a group of items the council has not had an opportunity to review in depth, and we typically approve the consent agenda in one action. Unless there is an item on consent that a member of the council would like to pull for further clarification or a separate action. What is the will of the council?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull 8E.
I'm sorry, say again?
I'd like to pull 8E, please.
8E? Okay, 8E. Are there any others?
I have none.
Okay. All right, if there are no others, then I will entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8K, with the exception of 8E.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Are there things to read in there?
Mayor Farrar, we have two ordinances on the consent agenda this evening. Item 8D is an ordinance entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande Repealing, Amending, and Adding Provisions to Titles 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, and a portion of Title 12 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code. And item 8J is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending the zoning map and portions of Title 16 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code, revising the commercial, industrial, and office professional districts, and rezoning the commercial portions of Plan Development 1.1 and 1.2 districts, Development Code Amendment 03-008.
Okay, thanks, Tim. With that, we have a motion and a second to approve consent items 8A through 8K, with the exception of 8E. Roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin?
Yes.
Councilmember Runnels?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay, so we'll come back to 8E, consideration of a resolution supporting legislation amending the Americans with Disability Act. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got a kind of unique perspective on this particular issue. Being married to a special education teacher who works with a handicapped class of six kids in wheelchairs. And we've had some rather lengthy discussions on this issue at home with all of the publicity that's been attended to the lawsuits that have been filed lately. I took the time last night to read the Americans with Disabilities Act in toto. It's rather lengthy. And it's intriguing to me how this has developed into an issue that's become so contentious and litigious. The act was essentially designed to protect people's rights in employment and transportation. One, you can go to the Attorney General and complain and get federal action on rectifying the situation. Or two, you can file a civil suit to try to compel the business or the operation to provide equal access. I see nothing wrong with providing a period of grace. Some people say, well, they've had 12 years. The act's been in place for 12 years. People had 12 years notice. Well, that may be true, but there are parts of the act that are obscure. There's different interpretations. I think that what's proposed before us is a legitimate and reasonable approach to solving the problem, that if a business is approached and given a notice that we're going to take action if you don't rectify the problem, they're going to rectify the problem. And if they don't, then by all means go forward with your civil action and go for penalties and deal with it that way. However, I think it's incumbent on us to educate our community, educate our businesses, that they are liable. They're going to have to comply with the act. So if there's anything that we can do as a community, anything we can do as a council, anything that staff can do to help educate, facilitate this process, I think we should do it. All that said, I do support going forward with Measure 80, and think we should approve it.
Okay. Is that a motion to approve?
Yes, I'll move to approve the act.
Okay, and is there a second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Runnels?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes, as well. That takes us to item 9, public hearing, consideration of amended conditional use permit to allow a financial institution to occupy Building J, 5 City Center, 911 Rancho Parkway.
Members of the council, this item has been before you once before in May, and it was continued at that time with a request to provide a trip generation or traffic study prior to further consideration. At that time, the Planning Commission recommendation was recommending approval of the use of 4,550 square feet of Building J at the north end as a financial institution. Immediately following that meeting, there was a proposal received from OmniMeans, the consultant that prepared the traffic model for the city. That proposal was reported to Investec, the owner of the center. About 2 months or 3 months elapsed as Wells Fargo resolved whether or not they were, but still falling below the traffic that was contemplated in the final EIR for the original full shopping center. The matter before you this evening is essentially the conditional use permit for a non-retail use of the 4,550 square feet. The issue remains unresolved as to the actual trip generation of the shopping center. But it is, at least theoretically, less than the 1996 final EIR. If the council concludes that the trip generation analysis is adequate, the Planning Commission recommendation would be in order, that is, that the use permit be approved. If it is the council's opinion that the trip generation study is inadequate, then additional study could be requested, and it would be considered concurrent with Pad I reconfiguration. And finally, if the council believes that non-retail use of Building J is inappropriate, regardless of traffic or trip generation, then a resolution for denial is also provided. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try and respond.
Questions for Rob?
Mr. Mayor, I have a question. I seem to recall in discussion at some point, and I don't remember what the answer was, so I'll ask it again. Was the original EIR for this project back when it was conceived and brought forward, did it take into consideration the high volume traffic of the grocery store?
I didn't bring the entire four-inch stack of final EIR and related studies, and I was not present at the time, so I don't know the exact composition of the center that was considered at the time. I believe it did include the grocery store and essentially 355,000 square feet of retail space as a total shopping center.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question, Rob. In the on page 2 of the staff report, about halfway down the page, fourth paragraph. When Wells Fargo Bank CUP was initially heard May 2004, City Council deferred Planning Commission's recommendation approval to obtain additional traffic study. The city immediately contacted OmniMeans, its traffic model engineering consultants, and obtained a proposal for driveway counts and evaluation of key intersections for comparison with the prior EIR estimated impact. Since neither Wells Fargo Bank nor
in May, the council continued the matter requesting additional traffic analysis. The initial thought was that Pad I reconfiguration, Pad I is the undeveloped 36,000 square foot store, which is located north of the Building J, which is the purple box on the screen. Reconfiguration of Pad I would obviously require additional traffic study. The exact composition of Pad I is still not resolved. It is coming in as a pre-application. The thought was that prior to substantial new development of Pad I, that there should be a more comprehensive traffic study. OmniMeans proposed about a $20,000 8-week study, and that proposal was reported to Investec. In May, it was not certain whether Wells Fargo would wait for an 8-week traffic study or still be interested in the location, nor was Pad I reconfiguration resolved. It hadn't even been designed. So Investec requested that the proposal be divided into the trip generation study and that the more elaborate driveway count analysis of intersection impacts be deferred until Pad I was submitted. That still has not been authorized. So at this time, all we have is a approximately $2,000 trip generation study. There is a $22,000 traffic study proposal pending with Pad I reconfiguration.
Okay. I seem to recall a couple of things here, and I'm not really sure whether it was a consensus of the council or just a few of us, but I seem to recall from the last meeting, and I have not checked the minutes, that there was discussion about the fact that when we move forward with filling the remainder of the location where Wells Fargo is proposed, that we did not want to piecemeal the rest of Phase 2, that we did want to take a more comprehensive look at Pad I, specifically for the impact not only on the key intersections pursuant to the EIR, but we were looking specifically at the cross traffic on Rancho Parkway. We were also, I also recall some discussion as to a potential problem with parking. We were going to look at re-examine the parking aspects as well. The other complications that I think are influencing this is the fact that we changed the use of Phase 2 when Trader Joe's went in, creating an additional intensity of use. So the whole intensity of use issue for Phase 2 is still not clarified. And since we did make those changes, it seemed to me that we were going to take our time, not piecemeal this, not make a decision on one end of one building when we can't see the whole picture. It seemed to me that there was discussion somewhere along those lines. Do you recall that?
I don't recall a direction from the council that the entire center necessarily had to be fully studied, or that the Pad I reconfiguration had to be submitted before a decision could be made on this use of an existing vacant space. But I certainly understand that all of the trip generation of both the Phase 1 and the Phase 2 areas are theoretical at this point. There has been no traffic study that has studied the actual trip generation of the shopping center, and there has been no recent analysis of the impact of the traffic and the levels of service of those intersections. So I think it was the commission's opinion and a part of their recommendation that the use of this existing vacant space be allowed, but that any further development within the Five City Center, additional construction of space, should be subject to a traffic study analyzing the actual trip generation and the impacts of that trip generation on the intersections, comparing it to the previous EIR, and if necessary, suggesting mitigation measures.
Yeah. I'm a little unclear. When this last left the council, did it leave the council with direction to take it back to the Planning Commission?
No. It was essentially continued indefinitely to allow for the additional traffic analysis, and whether or not a basic trip generation analysis is sufficient is certainly a judgment of the council. That could certainly be referred back to the Planning Commission as well. The Planning Commission previously considered only that this use could be appropriate in this location. That was their recommendation to the City Council. And while they envisioned that there would be increases in trip generation by a bank use instead of retail use, they did not consider it to be detrimental compared to the prior.
I was focusing on actually the direction of the council in terms of the comprehensive traffic study. Pretty much is on the basis of what you just described it as being. That did not occur.
No.
Is that correct?
The comprehensive traffic study has not been conducted.
Instead, we went to a shorter version.
Yes.
That's what it amounted to.
Correct. This is, I would consider this a minimal response to the council's concern about trip generation and traffic analysis. I think it does provide some evidence that the trip generation of the existing center with the bank would still be less than the trip generation that was projected in 1996 in the final EIR. It is simply unknown whether that trip generation was accurately projected.
And then going back to the actual space that is intended to be occupied, currently that was intended for two smaller retail outlets. Is that correct?
I don't know how many subtenant could have been located in this space, but it was anticipated to be retail space. Whether it was 4,550 square feet as a single tenant, two 2,200 square foot tenants or smaller, I think was really a matter of just tenant improvement decisions.
Okay. Any other questions? Councilmember Dickens.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Rob, to clarify the comprehensive eight-week traffic study that's going to be conducted once Pad I is reconfigured and that pre-application comes forward, will that traffic study at that particular time deal with actual traffic counts?
Yes. The proposal that is still envisioned for Pad I reconfiguration would involve counting both phase one and phase two driveways, analyzing the actual trip generation from the existing uses, evaluating the proposed Pad I reconfiguration using those trip generation rates, and determining whether or not the Rancho Parkway intersection between phase one and phase two would function adequately, and whether there are other intersections including the signalized intersection of West Branch and Rancho Parkway, or downstream intersection of West Branch and Briscoe, would function similar to what was discussed in the EIR, or whether they would require additional mitigation.
One of the key components that's been identified in the staff report, and I think with Wells Fargo in addition, is that the by placing the bank within this particular shopping center, that we would have individuals that would do multiple shopping. They would go to the bank and they would go to other places. My concern, and I think I stressed this the last time this came before us, is that the bulk of our traffic currently is going into phase one. That's our larger portion of this particular regional shopping center. And for those folks to then get to, if they so chose, which is ideal to them, then do their banking while they're out shopping, they're then going to have to cross the Rancho Parkway intersection. The unknown for me is, what will that impact be? What do we know with having a bank in phase two as opposed to in phase one? What types of trip generations is that going to create? Whether that particular cross traffic section is going to then be degraded to a point. So those are some of my concerns, and we don't have that before us. We're basically we're basically looking at the original traffic study that was done for the Five City Center and the traffic theoretical traffic counts, and yet from that point we've actually made some pretty significant changes in regards to uses, primarily in Phase 2, which are not taken into account of the original theoretical study, which I think is part of my problem. And I guess my question would be is that if we're going to move forward with a more comprehensive traffic study 8 weeks down the road, wouldn't it be better to deal with those issues? Because once we approve this, we can't go back and say, well, maybe, you know, it's not Pad I, it's actually the bank that's causing the potential degradation of a particular intersection. We don't know that at this point. So I guess my question would be, and maybe it's to council, I guess, because that's our ultimate decision, is to wait to see what the comprehensive study is going to prove in regards to those types of interactions.
As a brief response, I think the rationale for allowing the use to be included in Building J without a comprehensive traffic study, at least from the Planning Commission standpoint, was since there is 36,000 square feet of space in Phase 2 that has not been constructed, even with a bank generating more trips in the same space that a retail store would, the trip generation from Phase 2 is less than it would ultimately be, and as was analyzed in the original EIR. The existing intersection at Rancho Parkway and the driveways, this location right there, is a potential trouble point, particularly when Pad I is reconfigured and additional space is developed. It does not appear that it would be a major trouble point, and there could be mitigation measures considered, traffic control measures. It's currently a two-way stop. Whether or not it could be a three-way stop or a four-way stop would depend upon whether it would function with the proximity of the signalized intersection. There's downhill speed problems at that point with the two-way stops. So more traffic study would be needed, I think, before the Pad I reconfiguration could be considered. And it certainly could be beneficial. It would have been beneficial if a comprehensive study were available before the Wells Fargo decision was made. And that's still an alternative available to the council. Realistically, however, it appears that Wells Fargo would not want to wait until the Pad I reconfiguration design is resolved, the traffic study is conducted. It's 8 weeks from when the study has been authorized and the Pad I reconfiguration has been submitted in application form, neither of which have occurred.
One other question, if I might. Have we done any actual traffic counts on any of the intersections around this?
Yes. There have been numerous traffic counts taken both by the traffic model consultant and by additional traffic studies conducted for development. Camino Mercado area and West Branch have been studied at length. There have been traffic counts taken at West Branch and Briscoe and El Camino Real, but they don't relate specifically to this project or the increase of trips that this project would add to those previous traffic studies.
Do we have any indication as to exactly how the traffic is holding up around this project as compared to what was predicted in the EIR?
I'd have to say no.
Thank you.
Rob, I don't know if this is a question for you or for Don, or if you've talked to Don about this at all. But, you know, a comment that you made a few moments ago about potential problems on Rancho Parkway, those problems are already here. This particular cross street here, the cross driveway between Phase 1 and Phase 2, is already a problem. And what we're finding is that particularly peak periods, folks leaving Trader Joe's will actually come around here to the other driveway to make a left turn, so they have a better chance of getting across and making a left turn so that they go into phase two. Originally, we had planned on a straight shot across here. And, of course, back then we pointed out and made some observations that there might possibly be a queuing problem because of its proximity to Branch. And that because of that, stop signs and a four-way stop here would be inappropriate, perhaps even impractical, not to mention not satisfying the warrants to have it put in there. I don't know. But the whole issue here is that, there isn't, we're not talking about a potential problem. We're talking about a problem that's already here. And without a more comprehensive study could, in fact, intensify. We already see people making this alternate route up here just simply to get across the street during peak periods. So was that even looked at all here now, the circulation aspects, since our last meeting?
No, not as a part of the trip generation study. There has been no intersection analysis, no mitigation measures suggested.
And that's what we asked for, at least the intersection analysis.
If it was the council's intent to require that before the matter returned, the staff didn't adequately understand that, and we brought this matter back with the trip generation study. It still is an issue, and it still is an alternative available to the council if you feel that there's inadequate information to make a positive finding on this use permit application. Then I think the matter can be continued. Hopefully Wells Fargo would wait for the analysis to be complete and the space could be considered as a part of that analysis. If not, it's still an issue that needs to be resolved. What are the uses in those undeveloped areas of the shopping center so that the comprehensive traffic study is anticipating the actual development that the developer proposes, and then obviously the traffic needs to be evaluated at key intersections, trouble spots, both signalized and unsignalized.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Rob, has there been any estimates, or do we know how many trips a standalone bank of this size would generate?
The trip generation analysis really speaks to a standalone bank. There aren't many studies that can isolate a bank within a shopping center environment. The traffic consultant is advising that, in his opinion, the trip generation stated in the report is probably high, substantially high. He does not actually feel that the bank will be as great a traffic generator in a integrated inline location as it would if it were freestanding elsewhere.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, if not, this is a public hearing. Members of the audience, specifically the applicant, is welcome to come up and provide comments.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of City Council. My name is David Pintard. I'm the Director of Leasing on behalf of Investec Real Estate Companies. And as you know and as you've been discussing, we're in a continuance of a council hearing May 25th in regard to the applicant submitted on behalf of application submitted on behalf of Wells Fargo and to occupy the 4,550 square feet immediately adjacent to Hallmark in building J5 City Center. And Mr. Reynolds, you were absent at the last hearing, but for the record, the Planning Commission gave Wells Fargo unanimous approval to occupy the premises for its use on the subject location on May 4th, 2004. And at the May 25th hearing, Kelly Hefferton presented the amended use application to the council and recommended the use by Wells Fargo be approved by the council at this location and stated that the parking calculations were conducted and the proposed use will not adversely impact the existing parking in Phase 2 of the center. During the hearing, I think it was agreed by all council members that a Wells Fargo branch office would be a benefit to the community and to the center. The question was raised, would a branch site generate an equal or greater amount of traffic to the center than the allowed retail use? At the urging of the Community Development Director Rob Strong and Vestech, paid the City of Arroyo Grande approximately $2,000 to complete a traffic study to determine this very question. The firm OmniMeans was hired. OmniMeans was hired for several reasons. One, they are the existing traffic consultant to the City of Arroyo Grande. Two, they have been selected as the existing traffic consultant. OmniMeans is already approved by the council. Third, OmniMeans is intimately familiar with existing traffic studies and concerning traffic patterns and counts. And fourth, the findings by a traffic engineer hired by Wells Fargo or Investec may have been disputed by the council. The OmniMeans traffic report did conclude that the current project trip generation with the addition of a Wells Fargo bank located in an existing 4,550 square foot space will not significantly alter the overall trip generation from what was originally projected, and the conclusion was consistent using both ITE and or SANDAG trip generation rates. In evaluating this comparison of the currently developed or planned shopping center, it is projected trip generations against the originally approved shopping center and associated trip generation, projected trip generations of the currently developed planned shopping center, including the proposed Wells Fargo bank use, appear to be less. The location that Wells Fargo is occupying is the best location to serve its customers and the community and the best location for its use in the center. The Phase 1 or the Walmart Office Max or value-orientated area of the center is the big box, large anchor, regional draw to the center, and the Phase 2 or Trader Joe's, Hallmark, A.G. Edwards area of the center is the community tenancy to the center. And I believe Mayor Ferrara was correct in the last hearing when he stated that the tenancy for Phase 2 of the center should include some community retail service or even some office use. I believe that Wells Fargo, as each of you agreed in the last hearing, is a benefit to the community, and for having a Wells Fargo branch in the center, that they complement the center and they fit the needs of the community. It also does this as OmniMeans report has stated, without adversely affecting the parking or traffic into the center. I think the mayor suggested in the last hearing that we all consider de-intensifying the uses in the center. And the OmniMeans traffic report suggests that their occupancy use specifically accomplishes this goal. I believe the remaining development and leasing efforts should continue with this trend. However, the timeline for approval of these retail service type of tenants needs to be expedited. With Wells Fargo, the process has taken nearly 8 months to approve the use in this center. Other retail service uses should be considered without having to go through this exercise. Uses such as optometry, eyewear, cellular stores, dry cleaners, dental, medical, chiropractic care, real estate industry related uses such as real estate brokerage offices, title and escrow services, and or mortgage services, insurance services, tax service, florist, all allowable uses that are consistent use in almost every major shopping center except here in Arroyo Grande and Five City Center. I would like to comment, because it was brought up in the last hearing regarding the sales tax revenue the shopping center generates to the City of Arroyo Grande. It was questioned in the last hearing. I represented that the State Board of Equalization reported sales tax revenue generated by the center is approximately $720,000 for the year 2002. And I brought with me the statement from the State Board of Equalization, if you'd like to review it. It is also stapled to the original staff recommendation that the development is approved based on estimated tax revenue generated to the City of Arroyo Grande of $385,000. I present these figures because last hearing, they were discussed by council and the figures thrown around were incorrect. This 87% increase above projected retail sales tax revenue is due for several reasons. Five City Center has quickly become Southern San Luis Obispo County's most powerful retail center. Much of the center's success is primarily due to a combination of its excellent tenant synergy, identity visibility along the 101 corridor, and growing trade area. The primary trade areas for this center encompasses cities from obviously Arroyo Grande, Pismo Beach, Grover City, Oceana, Napomo to the south, and San Luis Obispo and Baywood, Los Osos to the north. Consumers are attracted to Five City Center because we have leased to some of the best-named tenants in the industry that include Walmart, Office Max, Marshalls, Trader Joe's, Albertsons, Save-On, Hollywood Video, Cold Stone, Baja Fresh, Starbucks, Radio Shack, Payless Shoes, and on. We've given local consumers a reason to shop locally and outside consumers a reason to travel to Arroyo Grande to spend their disposable income in your city. We have an excellent tenant mix in Five City Center, and because of this, the average consumer spends more in Five City Shopping Center than based on a national average. This is why the center is achieving incredible sales tax revenue, not because the traffic is over 87% of what was originally projected, and not because the traffic was so seriously understated in previous reports. Regarding noise generation, that also was brought up in the last hearing by trucks and sweepers. Investec received a complaint from a neighbor approximately 2 years ago regarding the parking lot sweeping and immediately rectified the issue. Investec management has never been served with notice from the city stating any violation of the noise or lighting requirements and is in good standing with its neighbors regarding these issues. Mr. Dickens, I would like to discuss real briefly the cross traffic from phase one to phase two. We have suggested that that could perhaps be a four-way stop. We would pay for that four-way stop. That recommendation, I think, should come from Public Works or traffic. And on the north end of phase two, you could have right turn only at that exit. That would immediately rectify the issue. But the question is, would there be more traffic generated from phase one to phase two or phase two to phase one if there was a high-end retail shop in that space versus a bank? The OmniMeans report says it wouldn't. Any event, you know, I think that we have made efforts to de-intensify phase two. We downsized one 6,500-square-foot restaurant to a 5,000-square-foot restaurant. We took a building that was approved for restaurant use of 4,000 square feet that's occupied by A.G. Edwards. And I think that parking traffic is a concern. We don't want this center to be a negative impact to the city, but obviously the major retailers are there because traffic is generated and consumers come to spend their disposable income in the center. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Luis Tristia. I work for Wells Fargo Bank, corporate real estate. I've handled the transaction and selection of that site with Dave Pintard. I'd like to bring up a couple of items with you. Wells Fargo plans to hire about 10 to 15 people in the community. We believe the traffic report shows will have a negative impact to the center, and its effects are minimal. We prefer to be at that location simply to serve or fulfill our customers' needs. I believe it's an excellent site. I do a lot of these with the bank. I have been working for the bank for about 15 years, and I do all the lease transactions for Central Coast in Washington State. We want to tell you that we want to be in Arroyo Grande, but time is an issue for us. And if there is a delay, I will tell you that we will probably need to move on to another community. We do want to be in this area, and we hope that you support us in this issue. My next speaker would be Mark Caravello. He's a Wells Fargo district manager serving the area, and he can also enlighten you on what we plan to do. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Mark Carella. I am the district manager for the Central Coast of Central Coast region. It does service this territory. I'm a local resident for 26 years, and I reside in Oceano, so I'm very familiar with the center. It is, in our opinion, the center that best serves our customers, and that is our single most important initiative, that we serve our communities and our customers as well as possible from a safety, security, and access standpoint. I appreciate the information on trip generation, but I also want to stress that there are hours of business. We are open Monday through Thursday from 9 to 5. We open Fridays from 9 to 6. We are open Saturdays from 9 to 1, and we're closed Sunday. And my personal experience with the center is those would not be competing times with the normal traffic and heavy volumes of the rest of the center, allowing for just a wonderful opportunity to bring business prospects to a center when they might not otherwise be there. And even in consideration of the trip generation information, some of the realities of the trends in our business regarding traffic is that the retail storefront, as we know it, the branch business is there to service paper transactions. And I think we can all think about our own lifestyles and experiences as to how often we do frequent a bank any longer. Our studies show that over-the-counter transactions have reduced by 40% in the last 5 years based on internet access and comfort in that means of doing business and online bill pay, phone bank services, direct deposits, all the automation that's taken place is actually a concern to our industry as to are we going to still be see our customers as often as we'd like to. All of our projections tell us that that trend will continue, that foot traffic in our stores and locations will continue to be on the decline. So hopefully the studies will only become more favorable going forward. And with that, that's my close and the close of the position from Wells Fargo Bank. Thank you.
Any other public comment on this item?
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I have actually been doing business with Wells Fargo Bank and their other banks that reside under their roof for about 27 years. I currently do business with the Wells Fargo Bank in Grover Beach area, being that it's the only outlet in the Five Cities area, outside of a few kiosks in supermarkets. Right now, if I wish to go to the bank, I work on the east side of the freeway, and I live on the east side of the freeway. I would have to take Grand, Briscoe, or Oak Park over the hill to get to the bank. I think by having a bank on this side of the freeway would allow less traffic impact, especially on Briscoe, maybe not much, but some, especially from people in the Rancho Grande area and that fairly heavily populated portion of town would not have to make a trip through Briscoe to get to Wells Fargo Bank. If the concern is for the city that that space is going to develop a lot of traffic and it would become a problem when the additional pad is developed, then I would suggest the city, if they're going to hold hostage or something like that, that you would do that on the development that would go in there, not on current existing unoccupied retail space. I'd like to see it there because it'd be more convenient for me personally. I think it would be convenient for a lot of our neighbors on this side of the city. Thank you.
Anyone else? No one else? Close public comment. Councilmember Dickens, why don't you start this one?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I appreciate all the comments that are made, and this is a tough issue for me because I'm looking at all the different variables, and part of the variables that I'm considering have to do with probably from what I would call a flawed approach from the very beginning with the design of this particular center. But that's not before us this evening. What we have is the phase one and the phase two. But what is actually occurring is, indeed, we're finding that because of the center being so successful, which is what we hope it to be, it will, yes, generate traffic, and it will, yes, bring in the dollars and the disposable income from both our local folks as well as our regional folks. The question that I have before me this evening is really continuity and looking at a comprehensive planning approach. And my concern is that, yes, we have an empty retail space available, and yet we have some unknowns with the size of Pad I and the configuration and how both the parking and the traffic generation that's going to be created with these unknowns are going to affect both phase one and phase two of the Five City Center, and as that relates to both the existing exit, which is there at Rancho Parkway, and of course our other intersections that are already being impacted. Currently, we are seeing that we have some impacts that are affecting the center, and that has been a concern of mine for the last several years. Due to the great success of this particular facility, this particular outlet, I think that at this point we're dealing with theoretical traffic counts. And even though that there will appear to be less traffic generation based on this particular applicant going into this particular phase, again, that's based on theoretical numbers from the original traffic study that was done for this particular center. I'd like to see some actual counts, and I think that's kind of where I was leading the last time this was coming. I'd like to see how the configuration of Pad I is going to affect and interact with the proposed bank configuration. And again, I'm just not convinced that we have all the numbers before us this evening that are going to allow us to make good decisions. And I know in the past when we make decisions based on one particular item and not looking at the comprehensive approach, it has a tendency to come back and bite us. So at this point, I'm not comfortable in moving on. I don't feel like we have the adequate information any more information than the last time we were here to make a decision one way or the other as to the potential adverse effects that this proposal, but in conjunction with the build-out of Pad I, is going to have on Phase 2 and the traffic circulation within the center and surrounding the center. So because of that, I'm not able to move forward with an approval until we get the adequate information from a comprehensive approach. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the comments that were made by all of you that spoke. I beg your pardon. Didn't know it was off. Thank you. I appreciate the comments that were made by Mr. Pintard about where they'd like to go with this and the two representatives from Wells Fargo Bank, and also Mr. Ross, and I used to be a Wells Fargo client myself. There used to be a Wells Fargo branch at Elm and Grand. It went away a while back. What are we looking at here? We're looking at an amended conditional use permit. We want to allow a permit, a use that's not permitted at this location. We want to change something. And in order to make a decision on that, one of the things we're looking at is the economic impact. We were going to have retail use in there, which was going to generate an additional amount of sales tax dollars to us. Bank won't do that. Now, there might be good reasons to allow that to happen. However, you went through a large list of non-permitted uses, Mr. Pintard, as you went through there, that are allowed in other shopping centers but are not allowed in this one. The basic question I have is, well, why aren't they allowed in this one? And that's because the center was designed to be a retail, regional retail center designed to do certain things. I wasn't part or parcel to any of the review that came in before for this. I have not seen the EIR. I think I'd like to go back and read the EIR and look at some of the items about it. It concerns me that we don't know what the actual traffic counts are as opposed to what they were projected to be. So no one can tell me if the center is doing what it was projected to do in terms of traffic management now without any additional uses in there as to what was planned. We do know that there have been some tremendous impacts on the intersections around this center that definitely seem to be greater than they were projected to be. The impacts are greater than we anticipated they would be. Either that or when we planned for it, we didn't care about what was going to happen in terms of the traffic management around the center. So I'm kind of concerned that we don't have good data to look at with that. Wells Fargo may well be a good addition to this location, a good fit for the bank, a good fit for the center, a good fit for the customers, a good fit for the citizens of Arroyo Grande. But right now it's a process of analyzing this on inadequate data, and I don't like doing that. It may well be that the best thing to do is look at it in light of what else is going to go on with the development of Pad I. And see what's going to go in there. I think something is going to have to be changed with that intersection. Perhaps a four-way stop sign is the best thing to go in there. But I think we have to have an analysis from our public works people and traffic engineers to tell us if that's the solution or not. Maybe we don't allow traffic to turn left coming out of that intersection. Maybe we're going to force everyone to go up to the further north driveway and turn left and go back right, which doesn't make sense to me. But when the traffic engineers look at this, maybe that's the solution they're going to come up with. So at this point, I'm not prepared to go forward. I'm not prepared to deny the project. I'm not prepared to deny the conditional use permit. I'm not prepared to permit it, though. I'd like more information.
Thank you. Councilmember Reynolds.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And, you know, I have mixed emotions about this also. When we put this in play, it was to be a retail center, and it's done a tremendous job for the city as far as generating revenue. And we hear the comments about the traffic that the bank is going to create, and we also hear about what's going to happen when we put Pad I in place. Well, it would seem to me like if we're going to put if a bank goes in there, it's going to soften the use and have less traffic than if a retail store were to go in there with a strong tenant, and then have Pad I go in there with a strong tenant. You would have more traffic, and you'd have a tremendous mitigation thing to do. I don't know what the answer is, but I know that we have problems there, and you know one of the things. It's a good problem when you got too much traffic. That means everybody wants to come down there and do some shopping. So there's pros and cons to it. But I would prefer this to be a retail pad rather than a bank. So I, at this point in time, I cannot support it.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me start with a couple of different observations, one that was just mentioned. Right now, there are numerous retail uses that are not permitted, but there are numerous retail uses that are permitted and can be put in pretty much without any approval process, regardless of their traffic generation. Is that correct, Rob? Thank you. So traffic is really an unknown process here. So if we were fortunate enough to have a high volume retail outlet go in there that could do a substantial amount of business in a 4,500 square foot space, then it's potential that the traffic would be overwhelming compared to a bank. So that's one issue that I find interesting. The second part, and I'm glad it was brought up by the representative, Mark, from Wells Fargo. As most of you know, I have a lot of banking experience, and a lot of that goes with bank development. And I can guarantee you that this is not a freestanding bank. This will not generate traffic like Midstate does in Aurora Grande for a number of reasons. One is it's going to be a new branch. It's going to take a while to develop. I would assume that the 10 to 15 people that you're going to hire will be somewhat shift-oriented, so they're not all there at the same time because of the opening on Saturdays and so forth. I would also assume that the way technology is moving forward, not only have you seen a 40% decrease in lobby traffic, but you'll continue to see an additional decrease in lobby traffic, especially with the new electronic issues that just came about October 1st that are affecting all of us in our checking accounts. So I think traffic as an issue in this specific process for this request, I don't believe traffic is an issue. Because I think that traffic is going to be substantially less than any retail outlet that is permitted to move directly into this space. So what we have here is an opportunity, potentially, not only to reduce the traffic impact, but also to fill a space that's been unoccupied for 5 years. I don't remember exactly, but 4 or 5 years, something like that, which has to have some economic bearing on the city in terms of employment of people, dollars reuse, et cetera. I think that we could look at A.G. Edwards as a prime example. That was originally designed or laid out for a restaurant. I think at one time it was even thought about fast food restaurant in their drive-through, which would have been substantial traffic. And I can tell you from personal experience that A.G. Edwards has no more than their employees in the parking lot 90% of the time. So they're pretty much a non-traffic generator for this Phase 2 section. I think one of the other things that is important to recognize is our current situation with all centers within the city. We have some available space in pretty much every center that we have within Arroyo Grande. We know, those of us that have been over into Pismo occasionally, Oak Park and James Way, since the market left, that center has some issues on space. I understand some current tenants in Phase 2 have some issues. One is closed. One is questioning. Those are volume-based situations. Are we affecting them by not filling this space? I think those are issues that we have to take into consideration from a pure economic standpoint. Do we have traffic problems? Yes, we have traffic problems. But I think we have to take a realistic look at this space and say, are we helping those traffic situations through the generation of a bank that will be producing smaller traffic volumes, then by allowing it to remain empty and potentially be filled by a high volume retail use? And so from my standpoint, I can support moving forward with the limited information we have now. I agree with Mr. Ross that Pad I, when it goes in, I'm not sure I agree with the term hostage, but I would say that when Pad I gets developed, we will have the opportunity to look at that from a true traffic standpoint and the impacts that are going on, because they will be then looking at a redevelopment issue or a reconfiguration issue that has to come back to the City Council. And we'll give the City Council at that time an opportunity to do all the traffic counts, all the traffic projections, all the economic projections, and the determination of what's the best for that center. I think that we have seen, with the addition of Fitness 19 in Phase 1, a real benefit. And I know we got a memo that says it's hard to determine because the taxes haven't been sufficient yet. But I think, from my observations, that there has been a benefit from Fitness 19 with the traffic that goes in there for that location to generate more business for the other occupants in Phase 1 or potentially Phase 2. So those are my comments. I can support this as it stands and would really recommend that we move forward with the addition of this Wells Fargo in the Phase 2 portion of the Five City Center. Thank you.
Thank you. Clearly, the two pivotal issues here are first traffic, second economics. And, you know, I have to make some observations on the entire traffic issue. First of all, as I recall, the direction from the council was for a comprehensive study. It didn't get done. Had it gotten done, when did we last hear this, Rob? It was back in May. If we had gotten with a program, gotten that study in place, it would be almost complete by now, if not completely done, which would have provided us with the information that I recall us requesting. Instead, what we get is a much briefer version of the traffic study that we asked that did not address the issues. I think we have to go back and look at the action that the council took when this center was first approved, and you've heard me say this before, but the bottom line was, even though it was a 2-2 tie, we won't go into the administrative issues around that whole approval process, but the bottom line was that the council recognized that traffic was going to be a significant issue in and around this center. That council, and that came through on the EIR, that council decision resulted in a statement of overriding conditions or considerations. In other words, it was overridden, indicating that the city was willing to accept adverse traffic impacts for economic benefit. That was one of the factors. So with that recognition, the question remains is, have we stayed with the projections? And we don't know that because, as was indicated by some of my colleagues, that information has not been forthcoming. As far as mitigation, even potential mitigation, I have to come back to this problematic situation that exists right now. And as I recall, we talked about traffic control, and we also talked about a four-way stop sign. The potential for queuing, particularly peak period, with a four-way stop sign that would not only keep traffic from turning left here, but it would also impede or delay pass-through traffic on Rancho Parkway, which means at peak period you could very well have queuing because there isn't that much space between Brant Street and this intersection. That wasn't modeled, wasn't studied, wasn't looked at in terms of potential mitigation. At some point, we're going to have to do that. I don't care if we never open another business in Phase 2. We're going to have to take a look at that as it as the area continues to grow. The comment was made by Mr. Pintard that the council made positive comments about Wells Fargo at the last meeting, indicating that a bank would be beneficial. And that's true. And I want to make it very clear to Wells Fargo that we would like to have you in Arroyo Grande. But the rest of the discussion was around the potential for you to locate in Phase 1. The big question mark, and we hear it from time to time, at some in some instances, it makes the newspapers. But I asked it and raised it at the last meeting if there was any discussion about the space next to Walmart. Nobody seems to want to follow through with that. And as a result of that, we still have an empty dirt lot in a what would otherwise be a contiguous shopping center. And it's been that way for 3 years, 4 years almost. I would have to also ask the rhetorical question about the rest of Phase 2. Why has it been empty after all of this time? I cannot believe, and I cannot imagine that looking at the remainder of this building, Jay, that there have been no offers, that there have been no clients, that there have been no opportunities to fill it before. And perhaps with some smaller businesses' intensity of use. The Mayor Pro Tem indicated that we have businesses in Phase 2 right now that are, one has closed, one is contemplating, and I agree. But I think there are two factors. One may very well be volume-based. The other, I believe, are the lease costs straight out. People can't make it work. And I see that as being prohibitive. As far as the comments that were made about retail sales tax, I'm not going to dispute the Board of Equalization, although I would like to take a closer look at those. But the factor that was not presented that might well influence the bottom line on the figures that you produced, Mr. Pintard, is the leakage, specifically the internal leakage that has come from other economic centers in the city. That was not factored in. Specifically, what have we lost from the Kmart shopping center? Substantial, I believe, substantial leakage. On the issue of competing traffic, and I appreciate the comments that were made with regard to hours of operation for Wells Fargo. I spend quite a bit of time up there. Both of my kids work in that center. And so I spend quite a bit of time up there, visit Trader Joe's, used to visit Vignettos before the doors closed. And I'm looking at peak periods as being roughly 12 noon to 5 p.m. in that center, largely generated by Trader Joe's, and from about 4 to 5 on Saturday afternoon. So I see some potential conflicts here. As far as where Wells Fargo goes with this, and I'll say it again, I said it at the last meeting, I would hope that there would be a spot in our city for you. And I would hope that you perhaps would wait for a more comprehensive study. But if you choose not to, we can't affect that. The bottom line for me personally is that I'm not about to make a piecemeal decision on traffic impacts for this particular center that could potentially worsen an already bad situation without a more complete information picture. And so I'm not prepared to support this at this time. Any other comments from council? If not, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I'll go ahead and take a stab at my the alternatives the staff has brought forth for us is to, and I would move for my recommendation that the council defer action and refer the application back to the Planning Commission for further study and recommendation concurrent with PADI configuration after a complete traffic study is provided.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Runnels?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lubin?
No.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. That takes us to item 10, continued business. We have none. Item 11, no new business. Takes us to City Council reports. I'll go first. SLOCOG is meeting next week, so I have no report there. And I understand the last meeting we were unable to have a quorum, and so there's no report from the last meeting. And South County SAN, I believe Councilmember Dickens will comment on that. Integrated Waste Management, we're between meetings on that, so I have no report there. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm pretty much almost a similar situation. South County Area Transit has not met, and so there's no report there. The Economic Vitality Corporation did meet. A lot of that discussion was concerning looking for a new executive director or president of the EVC. Ray Johnson is looking forward to moving on with retirement in January, I believe it is. And there were some spirited discussion concerning the marketplace project in San Luis. So we'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Runnels.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a very short deal. I didn't. We didn't have a Zone 3 meeting this month, and I didn't make the RAC meeting in San Luis a couple of weeks ago.
Moving right along, Councilmember Dickens.
Mr. Mayor, South County Youth Coalition meets this Thursday, and hopefully I'll be able to attend that meeting. In regards to the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, we had a really nice event approximately 3 weeks ago where we invited past folks out to honor their service of the plant and kind of a recognition of past accomplishments and where that plant has come. This past last week, we approved another $2 million capital improvement project where we'll be over the next year and a half putting in what's called a chlorine contact chamber, which will help our redundancy in regards to our chemical application prior to the effluent, the treated effluent going through the outfall. So that's another large project that's going on online. But the plant continues to function well, and we've met all our discharge requirements. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Well, my report is going to be very brief. APCD has not met since our last reported, so I have nothing to report.
All right. That takes us to item 13, City Council Member Items. Says none. City Manager Items?
No, sir.
Item 15, Council Communication.
I think I'd like to bring an item up. I heard a discussion the other day on the radio about the problem with the off-ramp over by Briscoe with people making right-hand turns on red lights, as is legal. And I thought about that, and that's a valid consideration. I wonder if we should contemplate whether it might be advisable to recommend that a no-right turn on red light be placed at the off-ramp from the first traffic light to the second traffic light.
Northbound.
Northbound, yes. I'll offer that for consideration.
Yeah, I'd be glad to have our staff look at that.
Well, since you mentioned that, there was also, I think, an issue. I don't know if we currently have one. I haven't been in that direction for quite a while, but I know that there used to be an issue with merging traffic on Branch to go under the underpass. Is there a left turn arrow yet on north on, let's see, would be
yes.
Eastbound Branch?
There is a north. There is a left turn arrow now.
Okay, because I know that was there was a lot of rage being displayed because of people trying to make a right turn on into that one lane, and people also trying to converge, making a left turn, both off a branch. So,
Mr. Mayor, if I may,
yeah,
an additional comment. If I could have staff respond in any knowledge about our new speed hump on Grand Avenue and the potential of that getting rectified in the near future. And we've talked to Caltrans about a timeline of when that may be addressed.
Yes, we have talked to them. For those that aren't aware, it's become kind of a trivia question in many areas of the city, I found, that was caused by the undergrounding that Caltrans is doing as part of the landscaping project. We have discussed it with them. We've been working on that, but I don't have a – I'd have to talk to Don. I don't know if we've received a date from them yet, but they will be repairing that. I can immediately get a date for you and get that out
to
notify you tomorrow.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, staff communications, anything tonight?
I think our deputy city clerk's going to make an announcement on the election.
I just wanted to announce that on Tuesday, November 2nd, during the election, council chambers will be open from 7 to 9. We'll have staff here with internet access set up, and the TV will be on. Election results are supposed to be displayed refreshed every 15 minutes, so we'll have that available. Public is invited.
Great. Refreshments?
Yes, refreshments will be available.
Okay, good. Thanks. Just want to clarify that. Might help the turnout. Okay. This takes us to item 17, community comments and suggestions. Any member of the audience would like to come forward, make a comment on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not. Here's an opportunity. Okay, no takers. Close item 17. Takes us to 18, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, second. We're out of here.